Hi guys, what's up? This is What The Faux Travel Podcast, and what better way to start the show with a little bit of dubstep there. So this is our Budapest episode, and it's called Budapest.
See ya!
Okay, do you want to explain a little bit what you're doing there?
No, I haven't gone mental. Yeah, we learnt while we're in Hungary that, how confusing is this? So, see ya is hello, or some kind of greeting. And hello is goodbye.
Yeah, there's loads of different things with their language, which we're going to tell you a little bit later.
Oh, yeah.
To do with, like, films and stuff like that. It's a very weird language, but a beautiful one at that.
Yeah, a great country as well.
But now, should we just talk about what we've been up to this month? We've had quite a busy month.
It's been a busy month, yeah, since we last done a show.
Yeah.
So I think the thing that stands out was Notting Hill Carnival in London.
Absolutely. That was probably one of the best nights we've had out as a couple, I'd say.
Yeah, well, if you don't know, it's the biggest street party in Europe.
Yeah, and it's in London.
It's mainly, I suppose, it's kind of got a Caribbean theme to it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And you walk down the street, music is really loud everywhere.
Oh,
there's
my goodness,
people,
yeah,
from their front living rooms, people are serving like jerk chicken, serving beers. All the houses got big signs on them saying £1 for the toilet.
Yeah.
So the people that live there must make a killing. But what a great atmosphere. It was so much fun.
So if you're into like your Jamaican food and stuff, it was the best chicken I've had in my life. The vibe that people had. So if anyone's visited London or has been to London before, you'll know that I think we're quite friendly people, but unless we're actually spoken to, if you just walk, like, people just kind of ignore each other down the street, don't they?
Oh, yeah. But the really nice thing was the whole of London kind of came together for a big party.
Yeah.
Everyone really got on with each other. It was a really nice atmosphere.
Yeah.
And we went with no plans, really. We got there, I think it was a Sunday, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Just to clarify as well, is the Monday was bank holiday Monday, which meant we didn't have to go to work. So it was kind of like a Saturday night for us.
Yeah, so we got there 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We partied, had a few drinks. We made a lot of friends, met a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then it came to midnight, so we thought, well, we need to get the train home now. But we'd met this Portuguese couple.
Who were wicked, by the way. Like, the best couple ever.
And they said, no, stay at our flat. You don't need to get the train home. So we thought, what could go wrong staying around some strangers' house? But they were so nice. We went back to theirs really late at night. They made us loads of food.
I wouldn't even call it late at night. It was pretty early in the morning.
Well,
it was I don't know. I don't actually know what time we got back. I was so drunk.
I don't know. But then we got up early, got the train home and had a day just trying to recover at home, didn't
we? Yeah. But it was wicked. It's so nice, like, going to somewhere with no plans, and then we ended up staying out all night. It's quite common for me when we're out and I've had a few too many drinks that, one, I get my phone out and I'll record every single thing that happens.
Yeah.
And two, I won't remember any of it in the morning. And I've got that dreaded thing when you wake up, you've got to go through your phone and think, what did I do last night? Luckily, I was with you, so I knew I was safe. I wouldn't recommend that to any other girls. But I looked through my phone, and at one point in the evening, we were with a police officer and I have his hat on.
Yeah, that did happen. Yeah, I remember it actually happening, but you don't.
Do you not? I mean, do you?
Yeah, I remember. It was well up for a laugh.
He seems like quite a fun guy. His hat looks really fake though, doesn't it? It's like...
What, like a
like a toy a police hat. Yeah, like a Bobby's hat.
Your face in that. We'll definitely put that up on social media.
I would say we definitely won't because I look so rancid in that photo. But the Portuguese couple that we met, there's a really weird picture of her holding, wearing the police hat and she's holding this balloon. I have no idea what is going on. But obviously we're having a little mini photo shoot in the middle of London. And if we do post that photo, if she's okay with us posting it, London looks so dirty, doesn't
it? It's trashed.
Yeah, but that was just from the festival.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, it was so good. We loved Notting Hill Carnival. Definitely going to do that one next year.
Yep. And I suppose the other big thing we've done, we went to go see Kygo, didn't we?
Yes.
We went to go see a Kygo gig again in London.
Should we just explain a little bit of who Kygo is?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's a Norwegian
music producer slash DJ.
And he's only 23, which is a killer because I'm 24 and he's accomplished way more than I have and it's depressing.
Depressing, yeah.
But he's so cool. I would definitely recommend anyone to listen to his music. That's K-Y-G-O. And it's just really tropical house, so just really calm, chilled stuff to listen to. But yeah, it was really cool. We saw him in London at the Roundhouse.
Yep, in Camden. Is that where the Roundhouse is?
Yes, it is indeed.
But that was really cool. So that's pretty much what we've been up to.
If anyone wants to see any videos or photos of anything that we've been doing, then you can just check that out at What The Faux Podcast on Instagram. And also, what's our Twitter?
At Faux Podcast.
So go check it out. We've got some fancy photos on there. I saw that yesterday, or 3 days ago, sorry, you posted a photo of how to order a beer around the world in loads of different languages.
Well, yeah. People want to know this information, don't they?
That is the most important sentence you could learn in another language. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you want to know, head to What The Faux Podcast on Instagram and at Faux Podcast on Twitter. Right, so this is our Hungary special, particularly Budapest, because that's the only place we went to in Hungary. So we can't really talk about the other bits.
But while we were there, we did learn quite a bit of Hungarian history and culture, didn't we?
We did, yeah. So we booked the trip last December, so we had a long time to wait. Normally, we're quite spontaneous with our trips, and we'll book them maybe like a month to 2 months in advance, and then just set off, pack our bags, set off and go. But this was a booked trip because of Sziget Festival.
AKA the Island of Freedom.
Exactly. So do you want to just kind of explain briefly what Sziget's about?
Yeah, well, Sziget, it's essentially a music festival, but it's way more than that, really. Who brought it to our attention? We saw it online and they've got this, I mean, we'll post it from our social media channels, but there's a video. So the video we saw was after last year, so 2014, like the After movie.
Yeah.
And it looked so much fun. A little bit, you know, like kind of Alice in Wonderland, kind of make-believe land, mm-hmm. where everything's not really as it seems. You can do all sorts of things there. You can do bungee jump if you want to. You can get a tattoo. You can get married.
Yeah, which we thought, oh my God, this is amazing, because we are engaged and we thought, we'd just get married there. It'd be so much easier and cheaper. But then when we got there, it's kind of like a fake marriage. Like you can get married with your best friend and stuff. But it's still cool to do. With your ticket, you also get a passport, which is just like a little booklet of everything you can do there, like the maps, you know, the standard things you'd get at a festival. But also there's loads of different stamps in there, so you can go to different parts of the festival and you get stamped to basically say, I've been here, this is what I've done. And it's really good to get a collection at the end and think, like, look at what I've achieved. It's a mini little bucket list in a passport. And it looks really cool. I got a few of them stamped off. But I don't think you did. You were more interested in just having a good time. And I'm just like, no, we need to get the stamps.
Well, yeah, they give you these passports, but they're quite big and bulky things to carry around.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I can't be bothered with that. But yeah, it was really good. But that was the main reason why we went. But
and earlier you said who brought it to our attention. There's two reasons why we know about this festival. One, because the people we went with, our friends, they're family member is from Romania and she'd been a few years ago, but mainly also our best friends Sam and Thomas, who are together a couple, they actually met at this festival because he's Dutch, she's English, just so happened to both be there and they met, which is a pretty amazing story.
Yeah, all the thousands of people there.
Yeah, so that's how we know about this festival. But again, we'd recommend anyone to go to YouTube and have a look at it. It's Sziget, spelled Sziget, and that's Sziget Festival. So that was the main reason why we went to Budapest. And I don't know whether we mentioned before, but it's literally all on one whole island. So
the festival is
so we stayed in the main town in an apartment, which worked out quite cheap when there was five of us all together.
Yeah,
so you know, you get a bit of luxury. You can sleep on the island as well with the festival, but as it was a 7-day festival, we kind of wanted a bit of luxury, or more luxury anyway,
just a bit of an escape from the festival to go home, have a normal shower.
Yeah, you feel dirty after a festival, you need a bit of comfort, so.
Yeah, but plus I was keen to stay in Budapest, the city, because I wanted to see what it was like, and we got to explore the city as well, which I'm really glad we got to do that.
So one morning we woke up and went on a free walking tour. So the good thing about Budapest is that all of their companies do free walking tours. And the thing is, in terms of money, at the end of it, you can give a tip if you like, but there's no pressure. And there really wasn't. They said that before the tour started and on their website. But, you know, obviously you feel a bit like, ah, okay. But obviously they're going to pressure you and make you feel guilty if you don't do it. There was literally no pressure whatsoever. She literally put an envelope down on the thing. She said, put money in it if you want to. If not, like, don't worry. But we're really grateful for any money, obviously, because it goes towards the company and letting them make it a better company.
I think that's the best way to see the city, walk through it. And it was a really good tour. Really enjoyed it. And we'll be talking more about that later. And you'll hear from our tour guide, Aggie, as well.
Yeah, who was super cool. Loved
she
Aggie.
She was really nice, yeah.
Really knowledgeable about the city and, yeah, just amazing. What we thought we would do is, if we just give you a little idea of the show today, we are going to give you do's and don'ts of Budapest. So we think this is the biggest thing when people ask us about traveling and stuff. People just want to know the do's and the don'ts. Where are the scams? How can I not get scammed out of money and still have a good time? So we're going to bring those to you in a few minutes. We're also going to do our game show facts, which Nick loves so much.
Yeah, well, you know, before every show, I work hard gathering all these facts. And we'll also go into more depth about Sziget Festival, the artists who are playing there, and also a couple of interviews from some friends we made at the festival.
After that, we're going to play a game which is called, get this, Hungry for Hungry. Yeah.
Wow, how clever are we?
But I'm actually really excited to play this game because I haven't had to do any work for it. And
again, yeah.
Nick's come up with this game and I'm super excited to see what that's...
Something else I've prepared for you.
And also at the end, if we get a chance to, we're going to tell you about the Roman baths that are in Budapest, which is a definite. If you're going to Budapest, you have to go to the Roman baths. So hopefully we'll be able to squeeze that in at the end as well.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things really Budapest is famous for, isn't it?
Yes, of course, yeah. So let's move on and talk about the do's and don'ts in Budapest. So I'm going to start with the do's. The first one is, this is a bit of a boring one, but I think it's quite key.
It's important.
It's money, so, you know. Do ask how many forint you'll get for the US dollar / euro at the exchange offices before you change money. The rate they post may apply if you change a big amount. Some write the selling rate first, which is higher. So just always double check your money. Obviously, I'm sure you're all responsible adults.
This just reminds me of, it was last month's show about currency. Fucking hell, Amy. You were at that currency game. It's embarrassing. Oh, do Germany use francs?
All right, chill out. Okay, I'm just going to defend myself here. I was having a busy, stressful day. My mind went a little bit blank. All right, I didn't know. I thought it was a trick question.
What do they use in New Zealand? Quickly, you've been there.
US.
US?
New Zealand dollars.
Let's move on.
New Zealand dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so if you haven't heard our previous episode, we were playing a game called Money, Money, Money. And that was basically...
So I told you a list of countries and you had to guess the currency they use.
Yeah.
And you were shocking. Even Pretty though you've been to half the countries.
Anyway.
Next.
Moving swiftly on. Number two, punch your ticket when you're on public transport, especially the trains, before you go down to the subway platform or when you board the bus or tram. This is quite a big one. I remember once when we were in Venice and we didn't stamp our tickets, which punches a little hole in them. And basically we're travelling on the trains illegally and you can get a massive fine.
We got kicked off with our bags, do you remember? We had all our luggage.
Did we?
Yeah, had to get off. But I'm pretty sure, we're not setting a good example, I'm pretty sure in Budapest we rode the tram for free the whole time.
I'm going to say the tram's free in Budapest. But I'm not sure, like no one ever approached us for tickets, so I think you can do that. I think the tram is free, but...
I think it was.
Aggie's going to be listening.
Sorry, Aggie, we love your city. We love your country.
I'm pretty sure the tram was free. Actually, Aggie, if you're listening, please send us an email and let us know. I think the tram was free, but then you pay for the buses and the trains.
Way.
This is not going too well at the moment with the do's and the don'ts. Anyway, next one. Drink tap water. It is safe and free. Refill your plastic bottle, which we found out on our lovely walking tour as well. And water tasted great.
Yeah.
Didn't get ill from it.
Obviously, normally when you go anywhere abroad, the rule normally is don't drink the tap water. But yeah, like Hungary, they've got lots of natural fresh water in Budapest that rises naturally to the surface and it comes through the taps. Really safe.
Speaking of water, my fourth do in Budapest, okay. If that makes any sense. I got really confused with this, so I really wish I had this leaflet from day one. The colour code for Hungarian types of mineral water bottle caps in the shops are...
Oh, yeah.
Blue is fizzy water, pink is still, and green is softly carbonated.
Whoa.
Like, I got so confused when I was in the shops out there, and I really, really hate fizzy water, so I bought that on a few occasions. Wasn't happy.
I think fizzy water in most places in Europe is more popular than still. I could be wrong there, but whenever we've been on trips to Europe, we normally always pick up fizzy water and it's horrible.
Yeah, I really don't like it. So if you are on your way to Budapest, write that down. It's blue is fizzy, pink is still, and green is softly carbonated. So we've got all the educated boring ones out of the way. Mm-hmm. Let's go with the don'ts because these I just think are the most helpful things.
Yeah.
So the don'ts in Budapest. Don't, right, this is a massive one, okay? Don't say thank you in a bar or restaurant when paying until you've got your change. It means keep the change.
And we found out the hard way in a taxi, didn't we?
We did, yeah. So we basically paid for a taxi and gave him like quite a bit because we wanted change and because we had a big note. He didn't give us the change back because we say thank you all the time and we didn't even realise. Got out the car and I was like, did he not give you your change back? And I was like, what a rude so-and-so.
Yeah, we thought it was well out of order. But anyone listening, wherever you are, the next time you pay for something, try doing it without saying anything. It's really awkward.
And it's actually really
weird. It's made me just realise how much we say, you know, when we hand over money, we always say thank you.
Yeah.
And then obviously expect your change back. But next time, try to pay for something, don't say anything until you get your change back. And that's what we had to do in Budapest. And it felt really awkward. But
yeah,
but yeah, it's definitely worth doing.
Both of us were sitting there holding our breath just so that we didn't say thank you because we wanted our change. Because we're tight. Right, moving on to the second one. Do not use taxis unless you have previously bargained for your fare. With our experience in Budapest, just make sure that you've always got your taxi meter on.
Yeah, turn on the meter.
That sort of worked. Although I still feel like we got ripped off once. Maybe. We only used like 3 taxis because we were on the trams and stuff.
Riding for free.
Yeah. Sorry, Aggie. So we didn't really get much experience from this as we were drinking in the main festival, Sziget, which was on that island we were talking about. But don't order drinks without checking the prices, especially at restaurants offering the tourist menu.
Mm.
So that's quite a big one. Also, don't leave your tips on the restaurant table. It doesn't explain why, but for obvious reasons, I guess. I think we're quite forgiving in England. We always leave our tips on the table. It's quite strange, really.
You want to just assume that no one's going to take it.
Yeah, that's like literally the easiest way to get money, isn't it? One for you guys, maybe. Avoid girls who try to befriend you with the sole purpose of taking you to a bar where money will be taken out of you. So, yeah, guys, if there's a beautiful woman walking towards you, don't think it's your lucky day. Yeah, she wants your money.
Because that happens every day, doesn't it? Just women just approach you and start conversations.
Well, it happened to you, didn't it?
Did it? What, in Budapest?
Me.
When a beautiful woman spoke to me.
Thanks, Nick.
When was this?
Wow. Okay. Can't wait to marry you. And the last one, don't accept 200 foreign banknotes because they're not in use anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wait a minute. Thinking about that, we took loads.
200?
200, yeah.
We might not have. Maybe it was just hundreds and thousands.
Yeah, I can't remember. But yeah, 200 note, don't take it. And in the style of money, actually, the £1,000 banknote were replaced with a hologram protected new version. So make sure you always got the hologram version when you're getting your change back.
All right.
So they were the do's and don'ts of Budapest. Good luck if you are travelling. And if you are, please send us a tweet or something at Faux Podcast on Twitter or What The Faux Podcast on Instagram. We would love to see or hear from you.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your plans. And hopefully we can give you some tips. And maybe you can give us some tips.
Yeah, definitely. Because I would quite like to go back. I love a bit of Budapest.
It was really nice, yeah.
Yeah. So should we move on? And next you're going to be doing your game show facts, right?
Game show facts. I know what, it's so weird. I love the sound of paper on a microphone. It sounds so official and professional. I fucking love the sound of paper. So, Amy, give me the music. Hungary lies in Central Europe, bordered by Austria, Slovakia, Ukraine, Romania, Serbia, Croatia, and Slovenia. Its capital is Budapest. The city is separated by the River Danube. Buda to the west and Pest to the east. Hungary is a rich land of thermal springs. Budapest remains the only capital city in the world that is rich in thermal waters with healing properties. Hungary's population is around 10 million. The main language, Hungarian, is notoriously hard to learn. Hollywood films often have Hungarian-speaking aliens, as not many people know this language. In Star Wars, The Clone Wars, one alien says, "Ezigonzit ezayam, met introt mident, es vot eproba," which means, "This evil is mine, you have spoiled everything, this was my trial."
That's pretty good, I just put that out there.
Paprika is often associated with Hungarian cuisine. Hungarians love that shit. Original Hungarian settlers were from Asia around the year 895. Around the year 1000, King Stephen I founded the state of Hungary. The Turkish invaded in 1526 and took 150 years for the Hungarians to get rid of them.
Between 1867 and 1918, Austria and Hungary were one country, also known as the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Hungary didn't fare well in both world wars. Being with allies with Germany and Austria meant they were on the losing side twice. They even tried to change sides towards the end of World War II. Germany thought, I ain't having this. They invaded and shit went down. After the Germans lost World War II, the Russian Soviets, who were on the same side as Great Britain and the French and the US, they invaded the country, drove out the Germans, and they stayed for 44 years.
Oh, come on!
Thanks, Chandler. The Soviet domination lasted until 1989, when finally Hungary became an independent democracy. So how was that? Did you learn a lot?
Yay! That was actually really good. Well done,
Thank
Nick.
You. And yeah, actually, like doing all this research, I've learned a lot. And obviously, there was a bit of the World War history in there, which, like any country in Europe, you can't escape the World War history. So I looked into it a bit more. And like the reason why lots of us kind of maybe at school, maybe don't pay attention, because it all gets kind of lost in jargon and you come across all this like bullshit, like this and that, and you come across words you don't understand. So I was trying to find like real simply what happened, why did the war start, how did it end, etc. And that was difficult to find. But
I think I'd find it quite difficult as well. Like, I don't think they find anyone makes history that fun in school. I did have one teacher who used to make us like act out different things that had happened in history, which makes you learn it better. It's still like, eh.
But still, I think, you know, explain it in layman's terms. School trips to go to places, like we went to Auschwitz, the concentration camp. Go to these places and you'll learn so much. But all the jargon, it's a bit like, obviously, the last election here in the UK, we voted. But some of the jargon, I get lost. Like, I'm going to be honest, this sounds really bad for an educated 26-year-old. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means if a politician is to the left or to the right.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck does that mean?
What does that mean? Can someone please let us know?
And exactly. Everyone in the news and the media assumes we all know, so they start talking about it. And as soon as they say that kind of bullshit, you lose interest.
So let's move on from game show facts.
Oh, actually, sorry. Yeah. No, you've got something to read out now. And I think it's really interesting.
Oh, okay, yeah. I forgot about all that research I did.
This is really interesting. I like this.
Thanks for the research, Nick. This is actually really important. So we learnt this on our tour with Aggie as well. She kind of got us to all guess them. But the inventions that have come from Hungary, and actually quite a lot of stuff has come from Hungary.
Hungary has given the world a lot.
Including the Rubik's Cube. I mean, where would we be without that?
Also finding that information, the record holder for doing the most Rubik's Cubes in 24 hours is also Hungarian.
Really?
I think like a thousand or something Rubik's Cubes in 24 hours. Like solved
mental.
Them.
Mental. Yeah. 24 hours when your brain going like that hard. Did they eat or?
Oh, I don't know. I don't care. I don't care that much.
So yeah, they invented the Rubik's Cube and also the biro pen, which we actually wouldn't be very far without that. Binoculars, discovered vitamin C, so they're quite a clever bunch. The carburetor for a stationary engine, which I wasn't too sure what that is, but you...
It's an important part of an engine.
For what, a car?
Yeah.
Okay. An electric motor car, so they're loving their cars. Colour TV. Now, that's my favourite one.
Big one.
Yeah. Microsoft Word and Excel.
That's a big one.
And the last one is electric transformer. So a lot has come from Hungary that we have to thank those clever Hungarians
for. Clever guys.
Right, so let's move on and talk about the main reason why we were in Budapest. Like we said earlier, that was Sziget Festival, which is a seven-day festival in the heart of Budapest in a man-made, I believe it's man-made, the island.
I don't know, actually. I know, I assumed it was a naturally occurring island. Maybe not.
Oh, it looks quite man-made with the way it sloped down.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, this festival is just so good. If you're interested and into your music, these are the type of acts that you would expect from a festival like Sziget. So we saw acts like Major Lazer, Mo, otherwise known as Mu, Ellie Goulding, Fabian. Florence and the Machine. And Paloma Faith. So yeah, there's quite a few acts, and there's a lot of diverse people there as well. If you're into like your house, electronic kind of music, you can see people like Jaguar Skills, Nero, Nervo, the two Australian DJs. Like, there's so many different people. But then you can go on the band side and see people like Kings of Leon, like we said, Kasabian.
There was lots of tribute acts as well. There was a Queen tribute act, although they weren't very good.
Queen wasn't that great.
Like you said, the variety. We also saw a group or a band called the Gypsies of Rajasthan.
The Dode Gypsies of Rajasthan, and they were on the world stage.
A very traditional Indian or North Indian band. They were a lot of fun, weren't they?
Oh my, I'd say they were probably the most fun people we saw. There was a lot of random stuff going on. Like, at one point he came out with this like vase on his head filled with water. And then he started standing on these pins.
Yeah, and he was standing on glasses, like cups. He was walking around on them, and then he was breathing fire.
It was like a weird drag show when he was like walking around on these cups.
While everyone else was playing their instruments, looking really happy, like obviously he had to be focused to balance all this stuff on his head. But I thought the poor guy looked in so much pain on stage. But he had like this serious look in his eyes because he had to focus. But they were really good fun, weren't they?
Yeah, at some point during the month, we can put a video of him actually on our Instagram.
Yeah, good idea.
Which again, if you've forgotten, I'm going to keep drumming it into your heads. It's What the Faux Podcast on Instagram and Faux Podcast on Twitter.
So who was your favourite performance at Ziggy?
Oh, good question. Yeah, because we saw so many. So Foxes was there as well. There was quite a few people I didn't see. Like, people like Subtract would have been really good.
Foles.
But it was on the same... Yeah, Foles. I really wish I'd seen Foles. But in terms of my favourite performance, would definitely go to Mu, who is from Denmark, but we'd call her Mo over here. Which I found out the other day actually means... Mu means like a virgin girl. Like, not in a sexual way, but like a pure woman. So I was quite interested to find out that's what she means. But
she was good, wasn't she? Yeah, she was really good.
She was so good. And I was really interested to see her anyway, because I love her music. But she's on the Major Lazer track, Lean On, if anybody knows it. And oh my God, what a performer.
Yeah, she's got a unique style. Like, essentially, she looks mental, but like, it's really good. Yeah,
so
like,
so cool.
Yeah, really unique style on stage. Yeah, really good performer.
Yeah, she doesn't really care about what other people think of her, but she's quietly confident at the same time. She's got some weird dance moves.
And do you remember she said in her Danish accent, she's got, "It's my birthday today. Hey, Budapest, we're going to get shit faced."
Good impression there. Yeah, so like, everyone started singing happy birthday. Oh, it was really, really good. I really enjoyed that. I know the answer, but who was your favourite?
Surprisingly, and I tell you what, every time I go to a festival, I always leave with a surprise favourite. Yeah, this is not really my type of music, but my favourite performance was Paloma Faith.
Yeah.
It was really good. I had so much fun watching her. And maybe it's because it was unexpected, because sometimes you go to watch some people with high hopes. I remember I was looking forward to seeing Kings of Leon. They were rubbish and boring. And like,
seemed like they just didn't have any passion on stage.
They were just on stage just like, yeah, whatever, like, just sing my song.
What is with the impressions today?
They're from like the deep south in the US.
I know,
I think.
But
and I really like Jaguar Skills.
Oh my God, he was sick.
Yeah, like that. He was a lot of fun. So the morning after or that night, I tweeted that he was my highlight of that day, and he favorited my tweet.
Yeah. So ever since
Jaguar Skills.
Ever since that moment, Nick's just been fangirling over Jaguar Skills, which, if no one knows who he is, he's a DJ producer from England.
Yeah, I'm not sure whereabouts in England he.
Brighton, I think, I've got a feeling.
But he's a bit like Banksy, where no one sees his face.
Yeah.
He's got this whole ninja theme going
on.
Yeah,
like a Jaguar ninja.
And yeah, it's mainly people that I didn't have high hopes for, but were just a lot of fun. I like it when people give a performance rather than just sing. Like, you might have a good voice, but I want a performance.
Yeah, which a lot of people put electronic music down for that. There was like, oh, why would I pay 30, 40 quid to go watch a DJ stand in front of decks and just plug their USB stick in? But people like Jaguar Skills bring a whole new element to it. Like, again, you said, with the disguise of the ninja head mask.
He was proper raving, wasn't
he? He was raving it on more than anyone else was. Like, oh, he was so entertaining. And like, even if you weren't even feeling the music, just to stand there and watch him, it was a good...
Oh, and so one more thing.
It was a good crack.
are really good. Yeah, one more thing about Pyramid Faith. Do you remember what she said? She said, so obviously we're in Hungary, but there were people from all over the world in the crowd. And she said, she goes, I'm sorry, I don't speak any Hungarian. She says, us in England, we're such ignorant bastards because we believe the rest of the world speaks English. And she goes, unfortunately for you guys, it's absolutely true. But she was like, thanks for having me. And you could tell she really enjoyed it, didn't she?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So while we were at Szeged, we went on what's called the Sky Bar.
Yeah, well, there's loads of different things there. So it's a really different festival. If you know of or have been to Glastonbury, I imagine it's like a smaller version of that. Just loads of weird stuff hanging around, but cool stuff. So like, I was fangirling over the bucket list stage. It was not a stage. It was like a blackboard. And it said on it, before I die. And there was loads of chalk and stuff. You could go up and write anything on your bucket list. We can post pictures of this all on the What The Faux Instagram again. I'm going to keep banging it into you. And there's loads of different things. So there was this weird water bottle company that was sponsoring the event. And there was this massive water bottle. And you write something you want to happen in the future. And then you put it into this bottle. And it's essentially like a time capsule. And you could put whatever you want in that. There's just loads of random things hanging about. And like, the camping festival was amazing, wasn't it, when you walk through the campsite?
Oh, the campsite was really spectacular. It's rather, it just be, it was in a forest, but rather there just be tents everywhere and then rubbish everywhere. All the trees had lights in them, and they're just little quirky features. Like, there were lots of umbrellas hanging upside down from the trees.
Yeah,
and you just felt like you were in a different world, didn't you?
Yeah, that's exactly the perfect way, especially at night time when you're walking through with all the tea lights. You just feel like you're on another planet. It's really, really cool. And I think you were about to say it earlier, but we went in the Sky Bar. So if no one knows what that is, it's actually on my bucket list, so I was really happy to do this. It's essentially a platform that is a bar, but then a crane lifts you up 50 metres in the air. So you're basically just dangling 50 metres in the air, having a drink.
Yeah, you're sat at a bar having a beer.
Yeah.
Enjoy the view.
Yeah. While we was up there, we met a guy called Thomas, and this is what happened. Okay, so we're currently at Szeged, and we are on the Sky Bar, and we just met our friend who is from Holland. So what's your name?
My name's Tom.
And you're from Holland, right?
Holland, right, yeah. Hey, so Tom, what's the best thing about your country? Why should we visit Holland?
Beer.
The beer.
Definitely the beer.
And what do you think of Szeged Festival?
It's epic. It's like complete madness, 7 days long, drinking, partying, enjoying the beautiful view.
Yes, of course.
Yes, well, we're currently going down in the Sky Bar. We're about, how high are we?
50 metres.
50 metres in the air, and we're just coming down, which is good for me because I'm shaking like hell.
Good times.
Good times.
Perfect.
Thank you. So he was a cool guy, wasn't he?
Oh, Tom. Yeah, cool guy. I love it how you could hear all the music pumping in the background. I felt like I was back there.
Yeah. I think you could tell I'd had a little bit of a drink because my voice suddenly goes up and up and up, and then I'm just like the squeakiest, most Essex person you'll ever meet. It's disgusting.
Yeah, listening to that straight away, I mean, I could tell. Obviously, I tell more than most straight away. I was like, oh, yeah, that's Amy after a few drinks.
So I just want to explain this Sky Bar as well. So, you know, you like them desk chairs you get at work where they sort of swivel around. It was exactly one of those, but like a bucket car seat. So you're really comfortable and you're strapped in as if you're about to go on a ride.
Yeah.
But then once you're up there, you can swivel your chair and then your legs are just dangling, and oh, I couldn't stand it. So it's kind of good that I had that mini interview because I couldn't concentrate.
Yeah, that relaxed you, didn't it?
Yeah,
that interview. Yeah,
but it was really cool to go up there and you could swivel around and see the main stage, because there's about 7 stages at Szeged. So whatever kind of music you're into, there'll be something for you in that height. You can just span across and just see the whole festival. And we went kind of early evening as the sun was setting, so it's kind of light, but then you saw the lights come on and it was really pretty. Wasn't it
really nice? Yeah. And then also, I think it was another day at Szeged, actually, while we were queuing for a drink, which, by the way, one of the downsides, you did have to queue. It wasn't that the queues were long, it was just the service was quite slow, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know whether that's us being English and impatient, but I do know a couple of the Aussies were getting a bit annoyed because they serve a bar completely different. So, for example, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but in England, for example, you go up to the bar, and part of being a bar waiter or waitress is you can clock who's come to the bar at what point, so you know which way the queue's going. Mm. They'd serve someone and then go straight to the next person, when in Budapest, it was kind of like they finish the drink, whoever was dead in front of them, whether they'd been waiting there for half an hour or 30 seconds, they would just serve that person. And a lot of people were getting annoyed with that, me included.
So while we were there, we actually we just got talking to a couple of Aussie guys, and this is what they had to say.
So we're here at Sziget 2015, the Island of Freedom in Budapest, and we are joined by our Australian friends.
Jesse!
Lucky.
Jesse and Lucky. Hey.
So we just met these guys at the bar having a drink. Is this your first time at Sziget?
Yeah. Not our first day, but yeah, first festival in Sziget, yeah.
And what do you think of it so far?
It's pretty sick. It's pretty crazy.
What made you come to Sziget?
That's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Because it's the Island of Freedom.
Island of Freedom.
It's the Island of Freedom.
Fuck yeah!
So let's tell our listeners. So, I mean, we can tell by your accents, but where are you guys from?
Melbourne, Australia.
We're both in Melbourne, Australia.
So what are you doing here in Europe? What's going on?
Well, we both live in London. So we travel around and just happen.
London's shit. There's no... The weather's terrible.
And it's full of English people.
Well,
you don't want to hang around English people.
So where would you say, apart from England and Australia, where's your favourite place in the world to go visit?
Sweden.
Sweden.
I think I can guess why.
Because of girls.
You know exactly why.
That's the reason. Okay, then.
Place is pretty good.
What's your dream place you've never been to? Where would you like to go? If it was all expenses paid.
All expenses paid?
It's a
big question. Very big question.
Dream place.
I won't say England, because we've already done that. No.
Would that have been your choice before?
No, never. No.
Oh, come on.
English girls wear too much makeup.
Yeah.
This is offensive, man. I'm standing right in front of you.
No, you're not wearing too much makeup.
Especially the ones from Essex.
Oh, here we go.
You'd be like, mate, is that your real face?
Oh, no.
Dream location.
Dream location. Shit. Cancun could be pretty cool.
Well, to me, it sounds like you've been everywhere. You've done it.
We've done a lot.
Oh, man.
Maybe Sweden again?
Sweden.
Okay, guys. So you want to go Sweden again. And, thanks for talking to us, guys.
We'll have fun at Avicii.
Thank you, guys.
Right.
Take care.
Have a good festival.
Cheers.
So we ended up having a really good conversation with them guys, didn't they? Actually, while we were complaining and waiting at the front of the bar, just having a right old moan about how bad the service was. But the best line in that, the best line is that your real face?
Is that your real face? They were good guys. Really, really good guys. I tried to crack a joke at the end, which we ended up cutting out, about the cricket, because those who don't know, England and Australia have got a big cricket rivalry. To be honest, I'm not really a cricket fan, but we'd recently just beaten Australia in a big game, the Ashes. So I said, oh, how'd you feel having a shit cricket team? And they were like, I heard we lost. Like, oh, they clearly didn't really care.
They don't give a shit.
So that didn't work, but no, they were really good guys.
Yeah. We bumped into loads of people when we was there. I found like everyone was super friendly and really good. But just a few other things that were at the festival, if you're thinking of going, there's a thing called a luminarium, which is basically a massive blown up structure, a bit like a bouncy castle for adults. But you walk in and there's really like chilled music in there, and it's just a place to sort of meditate, calm down, which if you're at a festival for 7 days and you're with all your mates, it's all high energy all the time, you need a place to go chill out. So I think that was really good. It wasn't really your sort of thing, was it?
Well, no, like we were in. I'm glad we went in, we saw it, we sat down for a bit, and then I thought, let's get out.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the party.
That's another cheeky thing that we did. Without knowing, we actually skipped a queue of about 75 people.
It was a long
queue,
but we didn't know what we were doing until after it happened.
Yeah, and then we was like, we're obviously not going to go back to the end of the queue.
No.
But other things that were there as well was, there's loads of different structures as you walk around. How would you describe this picture I'm showing you?
So that is like a little wooden pod that you can just sit in and chill out. People are probably slept in there. People are probably slept together in there.
They probably did as well.
We'll
post this on the Instagram and Twitter as well. It's kind of like a wooden structure, that you walk up in. It's, exactly what we said, a pod.
So look out for that.
How exciting is that? Look out for that on the Instagram page.
Wow, pod.
One of the biggest things we saw on the last night, which was definitely a highlight.
Oh yeah, how do we forget?
Was Cirque du Sziget. So if anyone's seen or heard of Cirque du Soleil, It's obviously, it's just like a circus like that. And it's a temporary tent that they set up. And it's amazing what they can do with a temporary tent, because they were doing loads of tricks. They're bringing out loads of these apparatus that they were swinging off.
Yeah, lots of acrobatics. Yeah, really impressive.
And the best bit for me was, it's not just a normal circus. Like, obviously, there was no animals or anything there. But the best bit was right in the middle. Everyone sort of like calmed down. And then suddenly one of the guys just started beatboxing. And oh my God, he sounded so good, didn't
he?
He
was good, yeah.
One of them had like a broom in his hand. It's hard to explain, but he was kind of sweeping and moving the broom while making the noises.
Yeah, to make music.
Oh my God, it was amazing. And then they had like this ping pong ball that they were like bouncing around and making sounds with that as well. Oh, it was amazing.
Do a beatbox impression.
Oh, let's not go into this. I don't even know where to go. Okay. You seem to think that you're a pro beatboxer.
You ready?
Oh my God. Right, okay, just stop.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on. Finally, all we're going to tell you about is the sort of pricing. If you have been intrigued by Ziget and you've seen the videos and stuff, I would say it's so worth the money. And it's actually, well, in terms of UK people travelling to Budapest, it's very cheap.
Yeah, well, like Ryanair, EasyJet to Budapest. I think, bearing in mind, it was in like the height of summer, August. I think we got flights for like £150 return. But then Ziget itself, as festivals go, it's okay. I remember somewhere between 150 to 200 euros. So that's obviously less in pounds.
For a week festival. And for any of you UK people out there, or especially Essex people, you'll know very well of V Festival, where 2 days you could be easily spending £200 on a ticket. But
shit.
This is, and it's not a very good festival. And yeah, but this is just so good for 7 day festival. You're looking at about, I think I bought my ticket for 175 euros. Right, okay, can we move on now? Because, like, this is my favourite bit. I've been waiting for this all week.
So we're going to play Hungry for Hungry. How it works is I'm going to read out a list of, like, food, like, dishes. And you've got to guess if they're traditional Hungarian dishes or if they're not. They could be from another country or maybe I've made them up. And I've got Gordon Ramsay with me to to help me, like, tell you if you've got the answer right or wrong.
Okay.
So, for example, if you get an answer wrong...
You're fucking useless, you know that.
Okay?
Okay.
So let's get started. The first dish, goulash.
Okay, I know that's Hungarian.
Yep, okay, it's a soup or stew made of meat and vegetables seasoned with paprika, as everything is in Hungary.
If I know what it is, should I explain what it is?
Oh, yeah, try and get for a bit of bonus, yeah. If you try and explain what it is. So, the next food. Actually, sorry, you got that one right.
Very good.
Thanks, Gordon.
Thanks, mate.
So the next one, pho.
Pho, okay, well I'm going to say no because it is a Vietnamese soup.
Yeah, and it's what our show is named after.
Very good.
Okay, lesko.
Lesko, okay, so I've never heard of this before. So it could either be a non-thing or it could be a food from another country.
It could be.
You keep looking away from me, trying not to give anything away with facial expressions.
So, let's go.
I'm going to go with it's not a food at all.
This is fucking painful.
No.
Really?
It is Hungarian.
Is it?
It's a thick vegetable ragu or stew which features green and or red peppers.
And how do you spell it?
L-E-C-S-O. Let's go.
I don't think I saw that on any menu.
Okay. Bolognese.
Well, that's Italian.
Very good.
Thanks, babe.
Okay, yeah, meat-based sauce, originating from Bologna, Italy. Coco van.
Well, that's a food and that's from France.
Do you know what it is?
Coco van. Van is wine. Because is it a fish dish? Because I don't eat fish.
No, it's chicken with wine.
Oh. Very good.
Cock in my bum.
What?
Is that real food?
Is that actually the name of... Is that one of them?
Is that real?
Oh my goodness, this is going to be so ridiculous that it is real.
Is it Hungarian or is it not Hungarian?
It's not Hungarian.
Very good.
Yeah, cock in my bum.
Did you just make that up?
I made it up. And what it consists of, a cock in my bum. So.
What the hell?
The next one. Stefani Sizzlet.
So we've moved from cock and bum to Fanny. Is
cock
this
in my bum. Get it right. Stefani Sizzler. Is it Hungarian or not?
Stefani Sizzler. I'm going to go with It is Hungarian.
Very good.
Oh my god, I'm getting
there
right.
Yeah, you're doing all right. Spotted dick.
Wait. What was that food, Stefani? Oh, yeah, good what was point. That fanny one?
Stefani Sizzlet, a type of long meatloaf baked in a loaf pan with three hard-boiled eggs in the middle.
Oh, okay, sounds quite nice.
So next one, spotted dick.
Yeah, that's an English dessert.
Very good.
Yeah, steamed pudding, which dates back to at least the 1800s.
So what I think, because I don't eat this.
Do you know
I
what the spotted means?
The bits of raisins that are in it.
Yeah, the fruit. And do you know what the dick means?
Some guy put his dick in it. The guy who invented it? No. I would say because it's long.
Good call. They reckon it's just like from the old word, English word for pudding. I reckon it comes from that.
Oh, okay.
So the next food.
Oh, do you know what would have been a clever answer?
What?
Was the guy who invented it was called Richard.
Yeah.
I don't get that. Why is dick short for Richard?
Yeah. It's one of them. It's one of the many weird things of the English language.
So strange.
Wiener schnitzel.
I think that's Hungarian.
That is fucking embarrassing.
No. Wiener schnitzel is a very thin, breaded and pan-fried cutlet made from veal. The Wiener schnitzel is the national dish of Austria.
But we had it.
Well, yeah, you can have bolognese in England if you want.
Oh, that's true. That's why I thought it was Hungarian.
Yeah,
so
I
had
thought
it
I'd
there.
Get you with that one. Solet.
Ooh, you gave me a weird look that time.
Solet. Hey, you want a popsicle? Make sure you stretch out those creamy hamstrings.
Oh, God. Okay, so solet. It made me think of a Solero, them ice creams.
Is it Hungarian or not?
I'm going to go Hungarian.
Very good.
Ooh.
Very good. A traditional Hungarian / Jewish stew made of kidney beans, barley, onions, paprika. What makes food Jewish?
Barley? Is it like part beer?
I don't know. But it's a Jewish stew.
They love their paprika, don't they?
Yeah, it is Hungarian. And dumb fuck.
Why do I know the name of that? Dumbfuck.
Dumbfuck. Dumbfuck.
Dumbfuck. Oh, no, I know this is. I know what this is. This is. That's a bit of Thai language there, isn't it? Dumbfuck means to hit something or punch it.
What the fuck is
that? No, it's not Hungarian. I made dumbfuck up. We got it from Idiot Abroad, Carl Pilkington.
Yes.
When he's with that Thai lady and she's, I think she's like bashing some herbs and ingredients. She's going, dumb fuck. I think it just means like bang, keep banging. And he was like, dumb fuck, it's just a wind up. So that was Hungry for Hungry. I think you did quite well. Let's just hear a couple of the Gordon Ramsays that we didn't hear.
All I want is a fucking chicken and a duck.
I love that one.
We got this one here.
Where's the lamb sauce?
Yeah, that's Gordon. My favourite one. Where's the lamb sauce?
We're always looking for lamb sauce. Is that your real face? That wasn't even an Australian accent, was it?
Oh, that was appalling. It was more like... Oh, no, now I'm thinking Scottish.
Is that your real face?
Is that your real face?
Yeah, real lassie. So that
is
was
that
hungry.
Your real face?
That was Hungry for Hungry, and actually done quite well. I wasn't keeping score because I was more busy kind of pressing the Gordon Ramsay buttons. But I think you did pretty well actually.
I'm pretty happy with that. It was better than the money game.
You were fucking awful in that. So okay, moving on.
We'll never let that go, will you? Like,
nope. Just embarrassing.
Never. Even on like our wedding day, I think that will be brought up in speech. It's just you won't let me forget it. So let's move on and talk about the wonderful Aggie.
Aggie.
So do you want to just fully explain who Aggie is?
Well, yeah, so Aggie was our tour guide. So we took a day off from the Sziget Festival to explore Budapest, which I'm really glad we did. It was actually one of the highlights of the trip for me, this.
Absolutely, me too.
So we found a company online, and they're called, you'll hear in the interview, I was sounding a bit stupid, they're called Free Walking Tours, and that's exactly what they do. They meet, I think, daily or twice a day in Budapest. Really popular, wasn't it?
So popular.
So many people there. They take you on a walk around the city. They tell you some really interesting facts about the city, but also about Hungary and its history.
Get a little mini language lesson there as well?
You do get a language lesson, yeah, which is nice. It was a really nice way to spend a day. And then, yeah, at the end of the tour, it's whatever you feel appropriate to tip the tour guide. But that's really nice because the tour guides always put the effort into the tour because they know they're working for the tips. And by the way, I think they do I think they do pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of people there, but the tour guides are really good, really professional and good fun. And I really enjoyed exploring Budapest. It was a really interesting city. To me, it felt a little bit kind of... I know people say this about Istanbul, where they say East meets West, because actually, it's literally where Europe meets Asia in Istanbul. But for me, yeah, Budapest felt a bit East meets West. And actually, well, in my facts in the beginning, I did say that the original settlers were from Asia in Hungary.
And we learned that from our tour with Aggie as well.
I got that fact from Aggie.
So well done, Aggie. He's not going to take any praise for that one. So, I'll make sure of that.
Thanks. So we did get the chance to speak to Aggie.
We did, indeed. And I just want to say, I just love how patriotic she was about her country.
Yeah.
And at the beginning where we met the other tour guides as well, that's all you could see in them, that they were just so patriotic. But anyway, this is Aggie.
We're here in Budapest on a free walking tour with our tour guide, Aggie. Hello, Aggie.
Hi there.
So, what's the company that you work for? What's the company called?
It's called Free Walking Tours.
Ah, it does what it says.
Yes.
Okay, good. How long has the company been going for?
Oh my God, I've been working here for like 1.5 years, so I have to look at the map to know it by heart.
Okay.
I think something like 2006 is one of the first free walking tours in Budapest.
Cool, and it's really popular, isn't it? There's lots of people here.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's, really it's high season, Sziget Festival is going on, so we have a job. Yes, thank
you. Yeah, good. What do you think is the best thing about Budapest?
I think the best thing is that you're looking for partying, you can find that. If you're looking for culture, you can find that. If you're looking for art, you can find it. So it's a very colorful city, lots of things to do, lots of interest it can fulfill. It's endless opportunities what you can do here.
Yeah, and we tried to be an educational show. Do you think there's a worse thing about Budapest? Is there a bad side to Budapest?
Yes, of course. Like every other city, you can find quite ugly areas where the dogs are giving you presents on the street. So those areas are not always too beautiful. But yes, and of course sometimes the smog, like every other big city.
Of course. Where are you from in Hungary?
I moved here 8 years ago. I'm from the countryside, the city called Kecskemét. It's like 1 hour by train from Budapest.
North, south?
It's further south. Yeah.
And what's it like?
You mean in all or in that specific city?
That specific place, yeah.
That space is pretty nice. It's with the inside the Great Plains of Hungary, because like 2/3 of Hungary is big plains. And it's a very cute little city with famous for its Art Nouveau style. It was very popular in Hungary back then.
Yeah.
And we have lots of like churches, nice cafes as well. We have the biggest shopping mall in central Hungary.
Nice.
there. We have some nice parks as well, nice also country houses. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So why did you move to Budapest?
Because Hungary is a very Budapest centralized country, so this is the center for education, media, politics, finance, economy, everything.
Yeah.
So I originally moved here to study at uni. And then I finished uni and I liked it here. I loved it, so I decided to stay.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's amazing.
And do you think Hungary is a country divided? Like back in England, like we joke that people in the north are very different from people in the south of England.
But you lived in Leeds, didn't you?
Yes. So,
yeah, we found out you lived in Leeds, yeah.
So did you see a difference from north to south?
In Hungary?
Yeah, in Hungary, yeah.
I would see a difference between the capital and the countryside. Of course, there are different areas. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, the northern west or also the northern east, sometimes they're very different. So the west, it's a very exaggeration, but it's a little bit like modern, because many, many people, they decide to work Austria, so they go every day back and forth because the salaries are better in Austria.
Yeah.
And also the housing prices are much higher towards the west and in the capital as well. So yes, I think there's a bigger difference between the capital and the countryside.
Yeah, okay, of course. And do you think you should use the euro currency here?
Yes, I think we should.
Yeah.
But like I said on the tour, our economy still need to develop for that, because we still cannot fulfill all the requirements to introduce the euro. But it's different for you guys because the pound is very strong and our forint is not too strong.
You think Hungary will benefit from having the euro?
Some areas yes, some areas not, but all in all I think it would be a benefit, yes, for us.
Cool.
Nice.
All right. Where is your favourite place outside of Hungary to visit, to go on holiday, to be a tourist? Where's your favourite place?
Oh, it's hard to choose just one.
Yeah.
Don't say Leeds.
You mean outside Hungary, any other country?
Yeah. Where's your favourite place to visit?
Oh my God. Because we Hungarians, we don't have a sea. So that's why you have this obsession towards the sea. We love anything which has to do with the sea. I really love England. I really yeah? love all of it because that's my second home.
Yeah.
My heart. And also Italy I love, Greece I love, France I love.
Okay, good.
Nice.
Endless.
And is there a dream place you haven't been to yet?
Yes, sure. I love Asia as well. I almost forgot to mention
Asia's
it.
Amazing.
Yes, Asia.
Yeah.
And crazy. I've been ordered to Indonesia, Malaysia, and I love to go back to Thailand, to Cambodia, to anywhere else in Asia.
Cool.
Nice.
Good. Thank you. And yeah, thanks for the tour today.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that was the wonderful Aggie there.
Yeah, she was good, wasn't she?
I can't thank her enough. And I just want to say, I really love the fact that I wasn't drunk in that interview.
Yeah, that was a nice change, wasn't it?
I didn't have the screechy voice in that one.
And do you remember, actually, when we asked her to do the interview, bearing in mind she speaks in front of people every day and in a second language, she got a bit nervous, didn't she?
Yeah.
About doing the interview, but she was really good.
Yeah, I'd get more nervous if I was talking in front of all those people. Like, she literally had groups of, what, 20, 25?
There was a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah. But no, thank you, Aggie, and hopefully we'll see you soon in Budapest in Leeds at some point.
Yeah. Hopefully Budapest.
Oh, actually, before we thank her, we should also play out the language lesson that she gave us halfway through. So, yeah, let's check it out.
But now, would you like to learn a Hungarian language?
Yeah.
Would you like to say hello in Hungarian? In Hungarian, you have to say "Szia."
Szia.
Very good. Say goodbye, that's hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
It's very easy. And do you remember how to say thank you?
Köszönöm.
Beautiful pronunciation, köszönöm.
Köszönöm.
Very good, very good. And if you want to be even more polite, just put the word please at the end of the sentences. Please is here.
Yeah.
Excellent. If you're in the bar and you like to say beer, you have to say shirt.
Shirt.
If you want to order beer, you have to say shirt kira.
Shirt kira.
Beautiful again. If you like to have 10 pints of beer for the whole group, you just have to say t-shirt kira.
T-shirt kira.
Excellent. And then you have to say cheers 10 times. Cheers 10 times. And cheers just once is egészségedre.
Egészségedre.
Wow, really good. Not as bad as I expected at all. But if you forget to short the Hungarian word, just remember the English sentence. I guess she can drive. Say it fast, a little bit deep, so you can escape. I just said that. But please don't say egészségedre, that means on your ass. Right pronunciation, that is
egészségedre.
Please repeat after me. Szeretlek.
Szeretlek.
I love you too. Uh-huh. And let me applaud for you.
So yeah, once again, thank you to Aggie for that. So let's move on a little bit and talk about the baths that are in Budapest. So I think there's a lot of different... Are they Roman baths? Is it? Do you call them Roman?
I think it goes back to, yeah, like ancient Roman times. This is what they used to do, go and chill out in the baths, yeah.
Yeah, but there's like four main ones there. We went to one of them and Aggie, again, sorry if you're listening, my pronunciation is going to be awful. Actually, no, wait a minute. Let me just play this out because I've got it on Google Translate. I'm just going to hope that you can hear it. This is what the bath is called.
Setcheni.
It sounds a bit Chinese, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Should we go for it again?
Setcheni.
So I'm going to say Setcheni.
But yeah, I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah.
But, and it, essentially, yeah, they're just like a spa bath place to go relax. And actually, it was the perfect thing after, what, like 7 days at the festival.
Oh, yeah, it's such a good way to detox. They're very traditional. When you go into them, you'll either have a female, male, or mixed. We went to a mixed one, obviously, wanting to go together. And they're open at all different times. The one we went to, I think it is like the main one to go to.
I think it's the biggest one.
Yeah, but it starts at 6 a.m. that you can go in and it's open until 10 at night, which is pretty good. I've got a little sheet in front of me and it tells you the best way to use the baths.
Okay.
So you start by having a shower, relax in the warm pool, then the cold pool, the sauna, then the cold shower, steam bath, cold shower, pools with different water temperatures, shower, rest and relax wrapped up in a beach towel.
Wow, okay.
That's the way. And it says bring flip-flops, a towel, a swimming cap for the lap pool, and don't bring silver jewels or other valuables.
Okay, good advice there.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's because of anyone stealing them, but they've got really great locker facilities there and like proper showers and everything for once you're done and nice big changing rooms, which aren't mixed. The changing rooms are separate.
Yeah, and I think, did we hear, like, the real traditional baths are where males and females are separated?
Yeah, they're the real old school traditional ones.
But yeah, obviously for tourists, you get mixed.
Yeah, you can get mixed as well. And I think just modern life, it just brings it in, doesn't it? We were also lucky enough to have massages when we were there as well.
Yes, we
which
did.
Which was amazing because for us, we seem to be talking about money a lot on this episode, but for us it was incredibly cheap compared to having a massage here. So we had a full body hour massage and it was just a really good price. In terms of pricing for just to go into the spa for the whole day, it's 4,300 forint for the whole day, as long as you, there's no time cap on there.
No.
As long as you want. Which works out at about £10 for the whole day.
Not bad. I think, I could be wrong, I think a full body massage, was it about £15?
Yes, I think it was about that.
You'd normally pay, I don't know, like £60 plus here in the UK.
Absolutely. So yeah, really, really good price. But it was really cool. So when you walk in there, it's just a massive sort of long plaza where you've got the different pools. And like it said on that sheet about bringing a swimming cap, there's only one where you have to wear a swimming cap. It's literally like an Olympic-sized swimming pool, which you do lengths in. Mm. I don't know why they do that. Maybe there's nothing.
Rules are rules.
Yeah, rules are rules. But all the others, like, they're pretty open with what you wear, like bikinis, or you don't necessarily have to cover up too much if you don't want to. And I felt really comfortable there. So you have, on the outside, you've got a load of different pools, and then you walk inside to have all the saunas and stuff. And one of the saunas went up to, like, 90 degrees. I think it was between 70 and 90
degrees.
Yeah,
I think you're right, yeah. And also inside one of the pools, I think this is because they don't use chemicals like chlorine in the water. I think it's very natural, but one of the pools did look a bit green.
Yeah, it was definitely green. But yeah, like you said, no chemicals. I think they change the water very regularly.
Yep.
There was a bit of a smell in one of them as well.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that was meant to be there. It was a bit of an egg smell. I remember.
So we'll leave you with that. Yeah, so if you're ever in Budapest, go to the bath, but they do smell of egg.
That was just one ball.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. Episode 3, Budapest.
I love Budapest. I thought it was really, really good. I'd recommend anyone to go there for a cheap trip away. How many days do you reckon would sum up a trip?
Well, yeah, when the festival's not on, how many days do I think you need in Budapest is what you're asking. 3 days would be good.
Two
to 3 days if you don't want to be away that long. But yeah, you definitely, after 3 days, you've seen what you need to see.
Yeah. So yeah, we absolutely loved Budapest. If you've got any more questions, don't forget you can send them in on our Twitter at Faux Podcast, on our Instagram if you want to comment on one of the photos, What the Faux Podcast, and what's our email?
Our email is whatthefauxpodcast@gmail.com, and faux is spelled P-H-O.
So that was Budapest, and next month we have one of our very good friends coming in. He's also called James. Don't confuse him for our last guest, who was also called James. We're going to be talking about India and Nepal.
I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, because we travelled with him. So it'd be really good to sort of share that experience with him again, reminisce over a few things, give you some tips and all of that.
And essentially, this was our favourite trip ever. So really, it should be the best show ever.
Yeah, it should be the best podcast you've ever fucking listened to.
We'll see you then. Don't forget, you can get in contact on @FauxPodcast, that's Faux spelled P-H-O, or @WhatTheFauxPodcast on Instagram. You can also email us, whatthefauxpodcast@gmail.com.